He's introduced you to great coffee.
Congratulations! World's best cup of coffee.
Great music.
Could win in a wrestling match. Lemmy or God?
Lemmy.
God. Wrong, Dick. Trick question. Lemmy is God.
Great travel.
That's the dream. It's not the destination. It's the journey.
All things to enrich your life.
If you're good at what you do, people will recognize that.
Now, he's ready to tackle itself.
Whoop-de-doo. What does it all mean?
With some great guests with even better life stories.
Yes, even better than how he almost failed grades 2, 4, and 7.
Life moves pretty fast. You don't stop and look around once in a while, you could miss it.
You're listening to the Brenton on Tour Lifecast. Here's BD.
My guest this week, Ted Fleming, owner, Partake Brewing. Yep, they sponsor the podcast. He formed it when he got diagnosed with Crohn's disease and was forced to give up drinking. Yeah, I mean, that's been the theme so far of the first three episodes, is the pivot from not drinking anymore. But Ted was forced into doing it and created a craft beer without alcohol. And some of you are going, well, what's the point? There's no alcohol. Well, you know, it services a lot of different things. He had Crohn's disease. He can't drink anymore. It helps him. It's keto friendly. It's vegan. It's gluten free. It's only 10 calories. It tastes like a craft beer, and they've got 5 different brands to do it. They got an IPA. They got a pale. They've got a blonde. They've got a stout. They've got a red. They're all amazing. Ted's parlayed that into one of the fastest growing companies in Canada, and he's won a pile of awards. So Ted's along this week to tell his tale about how you do this. How do you form, you know, this company and be brave enough to enter a space that, is generally dominated by alcohol and drinking? How do you pull people away from that and convince them to come into you? So, man, he sponsors the podcast. I'm so stoked to have them on, and he's perfect for the Lifecast. So this is the story and the life of Ted Fleming from Partake Brewing. Here we go.
Welcome to the podcast, sir. I thought I would tell your story and get a little bit about your life added to the mix here, man.
Awesome. I'm so stoked to be on the show, Brenton, and love having fans across the country and ones who are, support it as consumers and advocates. So, grateful to be on your show and looking forward to our conversation.
Yeah, it's been a real interesting journey for me when it comes to this product, because I, as I've touched on in the intro to the Life series and my first guest, Claire Pooley, who wrote the Sober Diaries, I have been without alcohol for about 18 months. I mean, I started in 2019. I'm in the touring business or in music, so I travel the world and I run concerts for a living. And I wanted to find a new way to kind of tour and see if there was a way to do it without alcohol, which is a dominant part of what we do for a living. And I just thought I would see if there was a way to do it. And then I stumbled upon your product, Partake. And I've moved along with various non-alcoholic brands and a few things that I would try just to kind of see, get beta test to see how I felt about them and how they tasted and all the rest of it. And yours by far one. And the fact that you're Canadian and Toronto and you have this great story behind it, it was really exciting to me to reach out and kind of see what you guys are all about. So there's tons of information on the internet about how you got going. If you want to break down sort of like this journey into non-alcoholic beer for you, I would love to give our listeners a nice little once over on what's happening with Partake.
Sure. So I'll go back to the early days for me. And, the story really starts with me in sort of my late 20s. And unfortunately, at that time, I was diagnosed with Crohn's disease. And, that was sort of the first domino in a bunch of changes in my life. But I didn't really realize it at the time. I think, being a male in my late 20s, being a fairly good athlete at the time, I thought, this won't affect me that much. I'll just kind of ride through it. And that really wasn't the case. That was just me being young and naive. And, the real turning point for me after that was I was on a vacation with my family, my wife and my newborn daughter, my first daughter in 2010. We were in the Mediterranean in Malta. And I got sick and I spent over half of that vacation in the hospital. I had a great window with a nice view of the Mediterranean, but you know, if you're sitting in a hospital and when you're supposed to be on vacation, you have some time to reflect on, you know, where your life is going. And, you know, that combined with being a dad sort of for the first time and all the emotions that go with that, you know, I really got down to, okay, this is not how I want my life to unfold. I need to, you know, take more responsibility over what I can control, which is how I eat, how I exercise, the time I spend with those who are important to me. And so that was really a turning point in my life where I said, after I got out of the hospital, that, you know, I'm going to make a real effort to change. And one of the big things that came out of that was a decision to give up alcohol. And then that, you know, eventually led to trying non-alcoholic beer. As I said, I played a lot of sports, you know, hockey, soccer, tennis, squash. After all those sports, the socializing that happens is usually around a beer. And so when I gave that up, I really found that difficult. And I was judged for that as well. And that also made it difficult. But if I had a non-alcoholic beer, you were still judged, but maybe not the same way. You were, at least, you know, in people's view, you were trying. You're trying to socialize. You weren't being standoffish. And I love the taste of beer as well. So that was, you know, it was an easy thing to try. But, you know, I found, as many people did, you know, 5-10 years ago, there really wasn't much in terms of the variety in the non-alc space. There were no styles of craft beer. And, you know, there really wasn't a product where you could take to a party or take to a social event and say, yeah, I'm proud of drinking this non-alcoholic beer, and this is why I don't drink. And I think now you see people, when you tell that story, they say, wow, you know, I aspire to maybe drink a little less and maybe not give up drinking totally. But you hear a lot of people saying, hey, I want to be healthier, and I know that's a way to do it. You know, help me do what you've done.
It's quite something when you dive into the world of it and you decide to, for whatever reason, whether it's Crohn's or it's a different thing. People have their own reasons for either deciding to drink or not to drink. But it's really interesting to me when you enter that space where all of a sudden you don't. And it's been such a prominent part of your world up to that point. Sports, music, like in my case, where it's just such a dominant factor in everything that you do, that the idea of not partaking is just so foreign to a lot of people. And I'm not going to get into the nuts and bolts of the psychology of it, but it's just unbelievable to your point about, what? You don't drink? Huh? How can you? Why drink non-alcoholic beer? Why not just drink a club soda lime? Well, because this one tastes really good. it's a good one. And I just find that people, I really had a hard time wrapping their head around somebody that just doesn't drink anymore. And was that a motivating factor for you to kind of start this thing? Was it like, I need an option to be able to still drink, or I just want to create something for people?
Yeah, I think fundamentally I was solving my own problem, which was, right, I wanted something that tasted good, that made me feel comfortable in social situations, something that I wouldn't be necessarily judged or pointed out to, you know, within a social context of saying, oh, he's not drinking. And, you know, everyone goes, oh, stay away from him type of thing. So yeah, fundamentally I was solving my own problem. But in so doing, there are a lot of other people out there who, you know, were experiencing the same things I was experiencing. And, you know, when we came to market and, you know, had the story behind why we were doing it, and then the product turned out exceptionally good. You know, we've won multiple awards around the world, including the World Beer Award for best non-alcoholic beer. And you know, that's something people can gravitate to, not just, you know, the early adopters, which were people like me that had a, you know, an acute condition or a very specific reason for drinking non-alc already, but we're now seeing a shift towards a much broader acceptance of it as just something that fits into socializing in general. And there's a time and a place for a non-alc beer that tastes great, which Partake is certainly at the top of the list. I'm a little biased, but that's my opinion.
And I mean, I've tried a bunch of them, and I really like the Nanny State out of Scotland. I think it's really great. They make a really great one from Brewdog over there.
Yep.
But and Red Racer here in Vancouver has a really great one. But those are like the only between you three that you're really the only three that I've had. And I'm actually was a whiskey guy in my day. So to me, to go to the Partake side of it, the interesting part is that when I have it now or offered around, the first reaction is, oh, non-alcoholic beer. And then people try it and they go, man, this is really, really good. And the fact that you've got the stout, the IPA, the blonde, the pale, it's awesome. It's all these really great ones. It really gives people a variety and option, and it really hits every single person's taste level. I mean, I've got a craft beer guys in my life. I got a guy that has a brewery here in Vancouver, and they've all really enjoyed it. And they're like, wow, this one's as close as we've tasted. So congratulations on that. What is that process without getting into your secrets? But I mean, can you walk the people through how you actually make a non-alcoholic beer? Because sure. I get that question a lot. People are like, well, how do they get it to taste so good? But not like, you know, so I'm like, well, let me get Ted to answer that question.
Okay. Well, before I dive into that, I'll say that we also have a red ale available now as well. So a fifth style. So still rounding out our variety.
Which I can't find out here in Vancouver. I've been looking everywhere for it. So yeah, I haven't tried it.
It's available online at this point, and retail is coming.
Ah, close, my friends. Keep paying attention. We'll be talking about it over the next episode, so where you can find it. So.
Awesome. All right, so I'll dive into the question of how do you make it. So
yeah,
you know, generally speaking, there's sort of two schools of making non-alcoholic beer. One is reliant on de-alcoholization. I think that's probably what most people are familiar with as a way to make non-alcoholic beer. So you would brew typically a 5% beer, and I think some of the larger companies that make a lot of alcoholic beer do it this way because of their economies of scale, but they'll brew a 5% beer. They'll put it through either a thermal process. So they apply heat and alcohol boils at a lower temperature than water. So it evaporates off of the beer. The other method of de-alcoholization is becoming more prevalent now, which is using a membrane filtration process. And that at a molecular level can separate alcohol from the other constituents of the beer. So that's, you know, if you group that on one side, that's de-alcoholization. On the other side, which is, I think, a bit more common in some of the German breweries and European breweries, is they use a process called arrested fermentation. So they'll start the brewing process largely the same as a traditional beer. But they will have a lot of process control in their brewery where they can subject the beer that's being brewed to cold temperatures quickly. And those cold temperatures deactivate the yeast. And then the yeast is removed from the beer before sugars are metabolized to a, you know, concentration more than 0.5% alcohol. So those are the two.
How long was the beta testing process to get that flavor that you wanted? What, like, you must have tasted, and then all of a sudden it's like, oh, that's going to be our IPA, or oh, we got it, we nailed it, there's the blonde, or whatever. I mean, how long, that must have been fun, but how long did that take to get that right?
Yeah, some parts of it were fun, some parts were tedious, some parts were depressing. When you're dumping a bunch of beer and several hours of work down the drain because it's just awful, it's tough. It's like losing your baby. But
right.
Yeah, I think the process for us, the experimentation process, started in sort of late 2015, and we kind of had a commercially viable prototype in our IPA was our first product. And, you know, not until late 2016 did we have a viable prototype. And then we didn't go to commercial production until later in 2017. So almost a 2-year process from, you know, really starting to try to crack the nut on this, at the beginning to a time when we produced commercially. And our first batch was a bit of a disaster. The recipe wasn't followed the right way. We had to scramble to you know, make sure our early Kickstarter backers, we did a Kickstarter campaign early 2017 and we promised delivery in July and it was September and we got the product. And even though 2 months late, as far as Kickstarter campaigns go, is early, you know, the product wasn't right. So we had to work around that. It was a much more hoppier IPA than I was intending. But we asked our customers, we said, hey, who likes double IPAs or really hoppy IPAs? And we basically were able to move half of a batch that didn't turn out right to those people. And to this day, I still have fans that come back and say, when are you bringing that back? And mm-hmm. we kind of nicknamed it Hoppy Accident. But we definitely have some fans waiting for that Hoppy Accident to come back into our repertoire.
It's funny how that's a great name for that, by the way, but it's funny how that those stories take, because just switching gears for 1 second, if you know the Guinness story about how they burnt everything by accident. So they were working towards this great, you know, taste, and then they burnt the barley or whatever. And so they ended up just giving it away to the locals. And that was the one that was requested more than the one that they were working on. So now Guinness has this burnt taste, and that's a direct result of burning by accident. So you never know what's going to come out of it. It could be a big seller, right? So that's fascinating stories to me about how people pull that together. So
along those same lines, for us, when we're doing the design process, we basically had three constraints. We had to be less than 0.5% alcohol, it had to taste good, and we had no money, so it had to be cheap. And or reasonably cheap. So, you know, we designed around those constraints. And another kind of accident that came out of it was when we first started doing the nutritional panel testing. And because we're regulated as a food product in Canada rather than an alcohol product, we're required to have a nutrition fact panel on our product. And we started getting results back that said, it's only 10 calories. And we started scratching our heads saying, is that right? And we did more and more tests. We even switched labs to see if there was a lab issue. And it kept coming back at this ultra low level. So we have a very high confidence that that's what it is now, as we've done multiple styles and multiple tests. But in the early days, we thought that was a mistake. And again, that's sort of like a unintended outcome of, you know, having some other constraints you have to work around. So, you know, another piece of our story that's a little bit fortuitous.
One of the questions I like to ask through this series, considering its life, and I've been through coffee, we've been through music, I've been through travel, we've had a couple different modules, but this is the life section. So one of the sections I want to focus on with this is just sort of the change in people's lives, and not necessarily the change of your life after switching from alcohol, but how has your life changed now that Partake is a thing? Because the work that you were talking about prior to, as far as getting it ready and the taste testing, was a lot of work, but now it's a lot of work even more. So what is Ted's life now? What's Ted's life like?
Sure. So, you know, early days, I was running our website, doing everything. I was even delivering products. So I'd take, you know, someone would order online, I'd put it in my car, I'd drive it from West Toronto to East Toronto, deliver it to the person, you know, because I'd save, you know, $20 in shipping. Things are a lot different now. I have the title CEO, and it, you know, I'm still getting used to it. I don't know if I'll ever really get used to it, but we definitely have a team now that's, you know, we have some great people on board. They're all very passionate about the product. Like that's the number one thing we look at when we hire and bring someone on is, you know, do they love Partake? Do they kind of live the brand? Do they live the lifestyle? Or do they have someone who is, you know, important in their life that does? They don't necessarily have to firsthand, but they have to, you know, kind of be touched by that transformation. And, so yeah, for me right now, it's a lot of it's around hiring the right people, trying to find people that fit into our culture. When I try to do stuff in various departments, I usually get told to go away, which is sometimes nice. But Yeah, it's definitely different now than it was before. But I think that process of, you know, starting from the ground up and doing everything yourself is very important. And it gives you a broad look at the base of the business and how it was built. So those early days are hard, but, you know, they're part of the story that may partake a brand that people, you know, resonate towards.
It's still growing, obviously. It's a massive space as far as the competition. But I still back to your point about the space of non-alcoholic beer and non-alcoholic products in general. What's the future of that? And I know that it's still a bit infant. It's really an infancy. I mean, I remember Molson Golden or Molson Excel when I was coming through the 90s or you know, 2000s. There was always some kind of option. But now, we're getting, you know, the market is flooded with options. Who's gonna really pull through that from a success standpoint? Like, what do you, is it really come down to taste, or is it the best marketing, or is it just the as you touched on, the people that are the most passionate? Because I'm seeing a handful of them, but I'm wondering who is going to be able to sustain and pull this off.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so there's a couple of factors into that. You know, the big beer brands have obviously put some serious marketing dollars behind non-alc, and they you know, had ignored the category for 50 years prior. You know, the biggest thing they really did was they've always had non-alcoholic beers in their portfolios, but they never associated their number one asset, which is their brand, with non-alc. And now you have a Budweiser named non-alcoholic beer, you have a Heineken name, non-alcoholic beer, et cetera. So that signals a fundamental shift in how those big companies see the category. But you're also seeing craft brewers into the space like a BrewDog, and, you know, they deserve some credit because they were an early adopter into non-alc in Europe in particular. But I think, you know, something that is advantageous for us as a company is that we're exclusively focused on non-alc, and I think that's an important distinction for people who are interested in the category, because we're in it for, I think, all the right reasons. And I think that there's question marks there around, you know, whether the big beer companies that, you know, in truth, their products aren't particularly healthy by nature. So they don't have much of a high ground from a moral point of view to say, you know, we're a healthy product or a healthy company just because they do have a non-alc product now. So I think that's a fundamental advantage that we have, that we're very focused, we're very passionate, we're in it for the right reasons. And I think for those, you know, those underlying reasons, we'll stick around when there are some bumps in the road. And I think you may see some brands from the alcohol companies kind of die off, because there might be other opportunities for them. Hard seltzer being one that I think is a big thing for them right now that doesn't interest us because of the fundamental reason why we're in business.
I'm kind of finding right now with this space that there was a bit of feeling. It's like, oh, Labatt's has a non-alcoholic beer. Who wants that? Molson has a non-alcoholic beer. Who wants that? But then you've got this specifically what you're doing, focusing specifically on just being non-alc. I feel like it just separates you from the rest of them. And it opens up this space from the standpoint of, like, if you go to an event and you set up a partake booth, like, well, you can set up beside Coke or Pepsi, technically, right? I mean, you could set up something like that side. But I think it really changes the game from the standpoint of, like, oh, there's just a dedicated non-alcoholic space by this non-alc company. And I just find that it's really, personally, from a personal opinion, it's really going to separate you from the big ones, because the big ones, well, we'll just put one out. And I think you focus so much on taste. I can tell all of them are fantastic. They're all really, really great. And I've tasted the other ones, and they're just not. The other two, yeah, BrewDogs is great. Red Racers is great. But you guys have clearly spent some time to get it right. And I commend you on that. I think it's going to be I think it's really going to go a long way to help you a lot through through it.
Thank you.
It's awesome. It's awesome.
We owe a lot to like our team, our brewery. You know, they make a, you know, we design the recipes and they're great, but you know, consistency of production is a big thing as we've become bigger. It's important. And I think we do a great job on that. You know, to your point about, you know, what it means to associate and drink our product versus a non-alc product from an alcohol company. You know, I think for a lot of people, if they're trying to convey the message and they themselves want to view themselves as I'm doing this because I want to be healthier, because it's important to me. That's important to us. And I think people get that association that health and wellness is important to us. And it's clear from what we do and all of what we do. And I think that's a harder, you know, a harder thing for a harder place for people to put themselves if it's a brand that's known for making alcohol. So, sure. And to your point about, you know, where we can market, a fun one people get a kick out of is we've done well going to pregnancy and baby shows, and pregnant moms, you know, just love the fact that, hey, I can enjoy a great tasting craft, non-alcoholic beer. And we can morally be there because, you know, we're not signaling, there's no cross signaling between what we do and an alcoholic brand we may have under, or an alcoholic product we may have under the same brand. We are fully into non-alc. And so we feel we have the moral high ground to do that. And, you know, we don't take ourselves too seriously. We're willing to have fun with the fact that we are non-alcoholic, and and there are some interesting circumstances and situations where that can be kind of fun.
We're getting down on time for you. I know you're a busy guy and you got to get out of here. So just a couple things I want to touch on. Your Dragon's Den experience, how was that? People watch it across the land. They watch Shark Tank. What is that experience like?
I would highly recommend it to any aspiring entrepreneur. It is a great experience. When you're sitting in the green room and, you know, waiting to be called on stage, so to speak, it's incredibly nerve wracking. And, you know, I there's definitely some great ideas that go on there, and there's some not so great ideas, but I think anyone that goes on there deserves credit for the courage it takes to get to that point and, you know, be in the den and pitch for, you know, the episode usually runs 5 to 7 minutes of actual tape time on air, but you're usually in there for 45 minutes to an hour. Sure. And, you know, you're being grilled by a lot of questions and the lights and cameras are on you. And it's a big deal. It can be a make or break moment for some businesses. So, you know, everyone that goes on there, deserves a ton of credit. And I would recommend, you know, trying to do that if you're an up and coming entrepreneur and looking to take an idea to the next level.
And now, listeners, you're going to have to YouTube it to find out how Ted made out. I mean, we're in the promotion business, so go check it out to make sure that you can see how it went in his episode. You guys are across Canada. Can you let the listeners know where they can find your product? I highly recommend to anyone right now, especially for the summertime, out boating, in any kind of scenario where you're actually not allowed to take alcohol, but you're slipping through the, I'll just take it on my boat and no one will notice. Hey, you know what? Don't take the risk. Take the partake. Like, take a partake. Don't take the risk. It's fantastic. It tastes amazing. They got a taste for everybody. I love every single one of the ones that they make. You know, just do it. Where can people buy it right now? Where can they go get it?
Yeah, so right now we're pretty much available across Canada, Superstore, Loblaws, Sobeys Safeway. We're in Calgary Co-op, Whole Foods, and available online through drinkpartake.ca. And there's tons of other independent liquor and natural food stores as well. LCBO and beer store in Ontario also.
Excellent. All right, my friend. Well, I appreciate the time. Thank you so much to you and your team for jumping on, putting this together to making the time to get you on the podcast, as well as jumping on as a sponsor for the Brenton on Tour podcast. I couldn't be more thrilled. I think it goes hand in hand with this life series that I'm putting together, where we're talking about life choices and new things that people have had to pivot and do, and how it's changed their life. And it looks like, to me, the choice that you made has really worked out well for you. I would say life is doing well. Partake is doing great. Any last words for the listeners? And then we'll let you get out of here.
Yeah, I just want to say, you know, thanks for having me on the show, on your tour. Love telling people about the story. You know, I think one takeaway is, you know, life can throw you some curveballs, but they're within that struggle, there's often opportunity. So, you know, look, try to find the silver lining.
Awesome. That's Ted Fleming, Partake. Look it up online, please. Website for everybody to visit. Maybe send you a message.
Drinkpartake.ca.
Do yourself a favor. Pick it up. Be safe. Be healthy. And Ted, we'll hopefully talk soon, my friend, and catch up down the road to see how you're doing.
Amazing. Thanks, Brenton.
Hi, I'm Emily Roger, and I host a leadership show called The Boiling Point with my co-host, Dave Vail. Together, we sit down with trailblazing entrepreneurs, thought leaders, and movement makers who are driving meaningful change in our world. The show is all about exploring the lives and perspectives of leaders who are making a difference. Join us for insightful conversations that challenge the status quo, spark new ideas, and inspire you to take action. Find us on Apple, Spotify, YouTube, or at BoilingPointPodcast.com.
Hi, I'm Mercedes Nickel, four-time Winter Olympian and host of Dropping In, a podcast with Mercedes. This is a podcast where I interview a bunch of different people. I get the good, the bad, and the ugly, as well as I share my stories along the way. Now you can drop in at droppingin.com or subscribe on Apple, Spotify, and YouTube. I'll see you soon.